by Nora Roberts, performed by Saskia Marleveld. For my grandchildren, my magic and miracles. My heart is like a singing bird whose nest is in the watered shoot. My heart is like an apple tree whose boughs are bent with thick-set fruit. Christina Rossetti. Fortune favors the brave. Terence. Prologue. The story was told, generation by generation, in song and in story, until time misted it into myth and legend. But some believed, as legends brought comfort. And some knew the story as truth. That in another time, in a realm as old as the sea, three goddesses created three stars to honor and celebrate a new queen. A star of fire, a star of water, a star of ice, meant to shine over all the worlds. They forged and brightened with wishes for a strong heart, strong mind, strong spirit. These, the moon goddesses, stood as guardians over the worlds, as watchers of gods, demigods, mortals, and immortals. Though of the light, they understood war and death, blood and battle. There was another, of the dark, whose great thirst, whose unquenchable greed blighted her heart to black. Nereza, the mother of lies, cursed the stars even as she coveted them. On the night of their creation, she winged her power to them as they flew to the sky, enspelling them. One day, by her curse, they would fall from their shining curve around the moon. When she possessed them, all three, when she held their power, the moon would die, the light would cease, and she would rule over the dark. So it was that the moon goddesses, Selene the seer, Luna the kind, Arianrod the warrior, gathered their magics to protect the stars. But such things required sacrifice and courage, and eons of hope. The stars would fall. They could not stop this fate, but they would fall in secret and remain in hiding until a time, in another realm, when those who came of them united in the quest to find and secure those stars. Six guardians, who would risk all to keep the stars from Nereza's evil hands. To save the light and all the worlds, the six would unite, would offer all they were to the quest and the battle. Now the six, from lands far flung, had come together, had forged their bonds, their loyalties, had shed blood and given their own to find the first star. So the goddesses met again. On the white beach, where they had birthed the stars in joy and hope, they gathered under a moon full and ice white in the dark sky. They have bested Nereza. Luna took the hand of each of her sisters. They found the fire star and have put it beyond her reach. Hidden it, Arianrod corrected. And cleverly done, but none of the stars is beyond her until they are home again. They defeated her, Luna insisted. Yes, for now, yes. They fought bravely, risked all in battle, gave all for this quest. And yet, she looked to Selene, who nodded. I see more blood, more battle, more fear. Strife and dark to face where terrible pain, terrible death can come in an instant and last for eternity. They will not yield, Luna said. They will not. They have proven their courage. Courage is truer when there is fear under it. I do not doubt them, sister. Arianrod gazed up to the moon and the place where for so long three sparkling stars had curved. But neither do I doubt Nereza's hunger or her fury. She will hunt them, and she will strike again and again. And will enlist another, a mortal. Selene stared into the sea, its black glass, and saw the shadows of what might be. Whose hunger is a mate to hers. He has, and will, kill for prizes less vaunted than the stars of fortune. He is poison in the wine, a blade in an offered hand, snapping teeth behind a smile. And in Nereza's hands, a weapon, keen and swift. We must help them. They have proven themselves, we agree, Luna reasoned. We must be allowed to help. You know we cannot, Celine reminded her. Every choice made must be made without our interference. We have done all we can, for now. Aegli is not their queen. Without Aegli, without this place, without the moon and we who honor it, they have no world. Their fate, our fate, all fate is in their hands. They are of us. In comfort, Arianrod tightened her grip on Luna's hand. They are not gods, yet more than mortals, each one with their own gift. They will fight. And as important as battle, they will think, and they will feel. Celine let out a sigh. And they will love, mind, heart, spirit, as much as sword and fang and even magics. They are well armed. So we trust. Flanked by her sisters, Luna lifted her face to the moon. Let our trust be their shield. As we are guardians of the worlds, they are guardians of the stars. They are hope. And valor, Arianrod added. And they are canny. There. Smiling, Celine lifted a hand, gesturing to the swirl of color streaking over the sky. They pass by us, through our world, hurtling toward the next, to another land, to the second star. And all the gods of light go with them, Luna murmured, and sent her own. Chapter 1. For an instant, like a single beat of wings, Annika scented the sea, heard the voices lifted in song. Here, then gone, a blur within the blur of color and speed, but it swelled in her heart like love. Then came a sigh, and the echoes of sighs, another kind of music, bittersweet. And this washed through her like tears. So with joy and sorrow mated in her heart, she fell, tumbling, spiraling, spinning in a breathless rush that added a reckless thrill and a quick panic. 1,000 wings beat now, 1,000 and 1,000 more, with whipping wind, a wall of sound. And color flicked away into the dark as she landed abruptly enough to lose her breath. For a moment, she feared they'd landed in some deep, dark cave where spiders would crawl, and worse, much worse, where Nereza waited to strike. Then her vision cleared. She made out shadows, what she knew was moonlight, and felt the firm body beneath hers, the arms wrapped tight around her. She knew that shape, that scent, wanted to snuggle right in, Nereza or not. It was a wonder, a star-struck sea of wonder, to feel his heartbeat so fast and strong against hers. Then he shifted a little, and one hand slid up, then down her hair. The other skimmed wonderfully over her bottom. She snuggled right in. Both hands came to her shoulders now, but his voice spoke close enough to her heart that his breath tickled it.
Are you okay? Are you hurt? Everybody okay?
She remembered her friends, not that she'd forgotten them, not ever, but she'd never lain so intimately on a man before, on Sawyer, and she liked it very, very much. She heard grunts, short groans, some cursing. Doyle's voice, close by and annoyed, clearly said, "Fuck me," which she knew wasn't an invitation to mate, but an oath. She didn't worry about Doyle. After all, he was an immortal.
"Sound off."
That was Bran, somewhere a few feet away.
"Did everybody make it? I've got Sasha. Riley. What a ride. When you've finished with your knee in my balls," Doyle added.
Annika heard a thump, which she interpreted as Doyle shoving Riley and her knee aside. As balls, she'd learned, weren't just the round toy that bounced, but a man's sensitive area. "I'm here," she called out, and experimented by wiggling a little on Sawyer's sensitive area. "Did we fall out of the sky?"
"Not far from it."
Sawyer cleared his throat, and to Annika's disappointment, shifted again and sat up.
"I couldn't slow it down. I've never taken six people this far. I misjudged, I guess. We're here, the six of us, and that's first on the list," Bran stated. "No, are we where we aim to be?"
"We're inside," Sasha commented. "I can see windows and moonlight through them. Wherever we are, it's still night."
"Let's hope Sawyer and his time and space bending compass got us where and when we want. So let's find out."
Riley pushed to her feet. The scientist. Archaeologist. Annika rolled the word in her mind, as her people, the Mer people, had nothing to compare. They had no lichens either, she thought. So nothing and no one quite like Riley existed in Annika's world. Dr. Riley Gwynn, tough, compact body, wide-brimmed hat that had somehow stayed on her head, strode to the window. "I can see water, but not the view from the villa on Corfu. We're higher up. A road, steep, narrow. We've got steps leading down to it. I'm pretty sure this is Capri, and this is the villa. Bullseye, Sawyer. Kudos to the traveler and his magic compass."
"I'll take them."
He stood, hesitated, then held out a hand to help Annika up. Though her legs were strong and agile, she let him.
"Let me see if I can find the lights," Riley began. "I can help with that."
Bran, on his feet, an arm around Sasha, held out his hand. The ball of light hovering over his palm illuminated the room. Seeing her friends lifted her heart as the song had. Sasha, the seer, with her hair like the sun and her eyes of the sky. And Bran, the sorcerer, so handsome with his magic lighting him. And Riley, one hand on the butt of the gun on her hip, at the ready, her dark gold eyes looking everywhere at once, as Doyle, a warrior through and through, stood with his sword already drawn. And Sawyer, always Sawyer, with the compass of the traveler in his hand. They might be bruised and bloodied from the last battle, but they were safe and together. "Is this our home now?" she wondered. "It's very pretty."
"Unless Sawyer dropped us at the wrong address, I say this is the new HQ.
Though her hand stayed on her gun, Riley moved from the window. The room had colorful cushions on a long bed. No, Annika reminded herself. A sofa. And chairs and tables with pretty lamps. The floor, they all had reason to know, was hard, with large tiles the color of sun-beaten sand. Riley moved to one of the lamps, turned the switch, and with the magic of electricity, it lit.
"Let me get my bearings, make sure we're in the right place. We don't want a visit from the Polizia."
Riley moved out of the room through a wide, arched opening. In seconds, more light poured through. Sheathing his sword, Doyle moved out after her.
"Here's all our stuff. At least it looks like all of it. And it looks like it had a softer landing than we did."
Annika peeked out. She didn't know what to call the space with its big door facing the sea and the archways leading to other spaces. But their bags and boxes sat in a pile in the center of it. And with a muttered curse, Doyle heaved his motorcycle upright.
"I had to drop the stuff first, so we didn't end up landing on it," Sawyer said. "Bullseye or not, Riley?"
"It fits the description I got," Riley went on. "And the location. There's supposed to be a large living area with glass doors leading to a..."
And here we go.
More lights, and as Riley said, a large room with more of the sofas and chairs and pretty little things. But best,
Oh, best of all, the wide, wide glass to bring in the sky and sea. When Annika rushed forward to open the glass, Riley stayed her hand. Don't. Not yet. There's an alarm system. I have the code. We need to turn it off before we open this or anything else.
Panel's right here, Sawyer told her and tapped it.
Give me a sec. Riley dug a piece of paper out of her pocket. Didn't want to trust my memory in case the trip scrambled my brains.
Shifting doesn't scramble brains.
Grinning, Sawyer knocked his knuckles on Riley's head as she keyed in the code. Go ahead and open it, Annika. When she did, she twirled out onto a wide terrace where there was night and moon, sea and the scent of it all perfumed with lemons and flowers. It's beautiful. I've never seen it from so high.
But you've seen it before, Sawyer asked her. Capri.
From the sea, and beneath, where there are blue caves and deep water, and the bones of ships that sailed long ago. There are flowers. She reached out to touch the petals of flowers spilling out of hefty pots in bright colors. I can water and tend them. It can be my job.
Deal. This is the place.
With a satisfied nod, Riley set her hands on her hips. Kudos again, Sawyer.
We should check through it in any case.
Bran stood at the opening, dark, intense eyes scanning the sky. Nereza often came from the sky.
I'll be adding protection over the more usual alarm system, he continued. We caused her pain and harm, so it's unlikely she'll gather herself enough to come at us again tonight, if indeed she can find us. But we'll all sleep better with a layer of magic over all. Split up.
With his sword sheathed, his dark hair tumbled around his hard, handsome face, Doyle nodded agreement.
Go through the place. Make certain it's clear and secured.
Should be 2 bedrooms down here, 4 more upstairs, and another common space. It's not big and plush like the villa, and we won't have all that outdoor space. Or Apollo, Annika put in. Yeah, Riley smiled. I'm going to miss that dog. But there's room, and it's well located. I'll take the upstairs. You just want first call on the bedrooms. Riley grinned at Sasha, then frowned. You okay, Sash? You're pale. Just a headache. A regular headache, she said when all eyes turned to her. I don't try to fight the visions anymore. It's just been a very long day.
And so it has.
Bran drew her close to his side, whispered something in her ear that made her smile and nod.
We'll take upstairs as well, he said,
and with Sasha vanished. Oh, cheat. No fair using magic. Riley charged toward the steps and up.
3 up, so 3 down to clear this floor. I'd sooner bunk down here, Doyle said with a look around. Closer to the outside access. You and me down here, then,
Sawyer decided, to Annika's disappointment.
Closer to the kitchen and the food. Let's see what we've got.
The 2 bedrooms stood side by side, not as big as the ones they'd left behind on Corfu, but with nice beds and pretty views from the windows.
Works, Doyle stated. Works, Sawyer agreed after opening another door to a bathroom with a shower.
The door slid in and out of the wall, delighting Annika, so she had to push it in, pull it out a few times, before Sawyer grabbed her hand and pulled her away. They found another room with what Sawyer called a bar, a big television on the wall. She loved television. And a large table where colorful balls stood in a triangle on a green top. Annika stroked her hand over the top. It isn't grass.
Felt, Sawyer told her. It's a pool table, a game. You play?
He asked Doyle.
What man who's lived a few centuries hasn't played pool? I've only lived a few decades, but I've played my share. We'll have to have a game.
There was a powder room,
though no one powdered anything in them that Annika had seen. And then the kitchen and eating area. She knew immediately Sawyer was pleased. He wandered through it, a tall, lean body that moved, she thought, as if never hurried. Her fingers wanted to brush through all the dark, gold hair the sun had streaked, shaggy and windblown from the traveling. And eyes, gray like the sea in the first silver light of dawn, that made her want to sigh.
The Italians understand cooking and eating. This is excellent.
She knew something about cooking now, had even learned to make a few dishes, so she recognized the big stove with its many burners and the ovens for baking and roasting. A center island held its own sink, which charmed her, and another sink, wider, stood under a window. Sawyer opened the box that kept things cold. The refrigerator, she remembered.
Already stocked. Riley doesn't miss a trick. Beer? Oh, absolutely, Doyle said. Ani?
I don't like the beer very much. Is there something else?
Got your soft drinks, some fruit juice, and wait.
He pointed up to a rack holding bottles.
Wine.
I like the wine.
Got you covered then.
He chose a bottle, passed a beer to Doyle, took one for himself, then wandered to a door.
Pantry. Also stocked. We're in business.
He opened drawers until he found the tool to open the wine. Corkscrew. Such a funny word.
I don't know about anybody else, but I'm starved. Shifting that many that far, it hulls you out. I could eat, Doyle decided. I'm going to throw something together. Riley was right. Sasha looks pale. We'll eat, drink, decompress. Have at it then. I'm going to check outside.
With his sword still sheathed on his back, Doyle went through another wide glass door. I can help you make the food.
Don't you want to grab up a bedroom?
I like to help make the food. With you, most of all, she thought.
Okay, let's keep it simple. Quick pasta, tossed with butter and herbs. And we've got tomatoes, mozzarella.
He pulled the cheese from the refrigerator, handed her a tomato from the bowl on the counter.
You remember how to slice these up?
Yes, I can slice very well.
You slice them up, then find a plate or tray or platter.
He spread his hands to show her size. He had strong hands, but was gentle with them. Annika thought gentleness was its own kind of strength.
And you lay them out with the cheese on top of the tomato, he continued,
so she knew to pay attention.
Drizzle this olive oil over them.
He set a container on the counter. Drizzle is like rain, but only a little.
You got it. Then you're going to take this.
He walked over to the windowsill, where some pots sat, and broke off a stem with leaves.
It's basil.
I remember. It adds flavor.
Yeah. Chop it up some, sprinkle it over everything, grind a little pepper on there too, and that's a wrap.
It's a wrap.
It's finished, he explained.
I will wrap it for you. Pleased, she braided her waist-length black hair back and away. She got to work while he put a pot of water on the stove, poured her wine, drank his beer. She liked the quiet times with him and had learned to savor them. There would be more fighting, she knew, accepted. There would be more pain. She would accept that, too. But she had been given a gift. The legs that allowed her to walk out of the sea and onto land, if only for a short time. The friends who were more precious than gold. The purpose that was her legacy and her duty. And most of all, Sawyer, whom she'd loved before he even knew she existed. Do you dream, Sawyer?
What?
Distracted, he glanced back at her as he found a colander.
Sure. Sure, most everybody does.
Do you dream of when we've done our duty? When we have all three stars? When the stars of fortune are safe from Nereza? When there is no more fighting?
It's hard to see that far when we're in the middle of it. But yeah, I think about it.
What do you wish for most when this is done?
I don't know. It's been part of my life for so long. The quest, if not the battle.
But he paused in what he was doing, considered. She thought that, the paying attention, was also strength.
I guess, maybe, it would be enough for the six of us, knowing we've done everything we had to do, to sit on a warm beach and look up and see them. See the three stars where they're meant to be. Knowing we did that, that's a pretty big dream.
Not for wealth or long life? Her gaze slid toward him. Or a woman?
If I could rub a lamp, I'd be an idiot not to take all that.
He paused a moment, shoved his fingers through his shaggy blonde hair.
But the friends who fought with me, that warm beach, that would do just fine. Add a cold beer and it sounds perfect.
She started to speak again, but Doyle came back through the doors. Though a tall man and well-muscled, he moved lightly on his feet.
We don't have the outdoor training space we had in Greece, but we've got a lemon grove we could use, and more privacy than I figured on. Though Bran could add to that anyway. There's a garden, smaller scale than the one at the villa, and pots of herbs and tomatoes out on the terrace. Big table out there for eating, and that portion's covered by a grape arbor. Shady, but the bees may be an issue. We've got a pool. Yeah? Again, smaller scale than Corfu. It's right off the patio deal, which is probably why they planted trees on either side of the grounds. They'd want some privacy. Do you care which bedroom? Nope, take your pick. I will. I'm going to stow my gear.
As he went out, Riley came in.
You guys read my mind.
She walked over, slung an arm around Annika's waist.
Starving. What are we having?
Sawyer is making pasta, and I'm making tomatoes and cheese with the oil and herbs. We're going to eat, drink, and decompress.
I'm for it.
Your friend of a friend stocked the kitchen, Sawyer told Riley.
Yeah, we owe for that.
Beer or wine? To help her decide, she took a swig from Sawyer's bottle, a sip from Annika's glass.
Tough choice.
It's pasta, so I'm going for the wine.
Bran and Sasha beat me to the master, but there's two of them in there, so that's fair.
Doyle and I are bunking down here. Two rooms and a full bath. It works.
Good enough.
Annika, you get your choice of what's left up there. Sasha and Bran will use whatever's left over to set up her studio and the magic works. Terrace is up there, too.
We won't be able to walk to the beach from here, but we can take the funicular.
What is the funicular? Annika asked.
It's like a train, but in the air. You pay and you can ride it down to town, or closer to the beach, or...
I want to ride it. Can we ride it tomorrow?
Maybe. It's a strong walk down to the shops in Anna Capri, and a steep hike back. And to get down to Capri Town means a bus or cab, or a serious hike. No cars in Anna Capri. If we need one, I'll find us a ride, and we'll park it in Capri. But mostly we're on foot or public trans. I'm going to do a quick check outside on security.
Doyle just did.
Sawyer slid spaghetti into the pot of boiling water. Riley hesitated, glanced toward the door, then shrugged.
No point in me walking in his footsteps.
We have a pool, Annika told her.
Yeah, I got that. And I might just try it out before I turn in. Table out there, right? Why don't we eat outside?
I'm for it. Set us up.
Riley poured herself some wine, lifted it to Sawyer.
I'm all over it.
She got another glass when Sasha came in with Bran.
Wine? It'll put some color in your cheeks. I'd love some wine. And food. Sawyer, Annika, you're the best.
Italian beer. I'll be happy for that.
Bran opened the refrigerator, got his own.
Doyle. Our immortal's stowing his gear.
Sawyer stirred the pasta as steam puffed.
We're taking the two bedrooms down here.
That leaves you a choice upstairs, Annika. Riley said you need a room for your painting and for Bran's magics. You should choose it. I'm happy with whatever is left. If you really don't mind, we could take the room across from ours. It's the smaller of the two left, and big enough for what we'd need. And yours would face the sea. You'd rather wake and sleep with the sea. Touched, Annika moved to hug Sasha. Thank you. I'm across from you, Riley told her.
I love me a sea view as much as the next guy, or a mermaid. But there's something to be said about looking out over a lemon grove. And guarding the rear flank, Bran added.
And that. We're eating outside, as soon as I find plates. She found them, as colorful as the cushions. With Sasha helping to set up, they went out as Annika meticulously added the herbs to her dish. Is this right? Did I do it the way I should? Sawyer glanced at her tray.
Looks perfect. I just need a few minutes to put the rest together.
But we need candles and flowers. Annika dashed out to hunt up what she considered a properly set table. Sawyer tested the pasta, turned off the burner.
Sasha, okay. A little more shaken, apparently, than the rest of us. Food and rest should do the trick.
He looked over as Doyle came back in.
I've done a basic protection spell on the house and grounds, but we'll want to layer over that before we turn in for the night. She'll find us, sooner or later, and she'll be right pissed. She'll find us, Sawyer agreed as he drained pasta. It'll be a lot tougher for her to find the Fire Star where and how you've hidden it. Which says to me she'll come harder for the next.
Doyle lifted his beer, drained it.
In her place, I'd decide I'd underestimated my enemy in the first round of things. Her pride would lead her to that conclusion. She'll go harder, bloodier. And it may be cannier, Bran added. Much of what she did was rage and violence. Whatever it cost us, it cost her more. She may, if wise, consider more strategy than force. We'll need to prepare for that. We need to eat.
Sawyer dumped the pasta into a bowl, tossed it with the butter and herbs he'd prepped.
And we need to sleep. You're not wrong. And we need to celebrate, however briefly, the fact that we're safe, whole, and together. And ready to search for the next star.
Bran nodded at Doyle.
For the next. Water or ice, we can't know, not yet. But the fates sent us here, where the inestimable Riley has again secured us a roof and beds, food. Tomorrow's soon enough, isn't it, to plot our own strategies? It'll have to be because this is ready. Grab that tray, will you? And the wine. And I could use another beer.
Sawyer stepped out into the lemon-scented night, where a slice of moon shot soft blue light over land and sea. Annika, being Annika, had fashioned a bouquet of flowers out of napkins and gathered candles from around the house. I couldn't find the... When the word escaped her, she mimed striking a match.
Matches, Sawyer supplied. I'll take care of that.
Bran simply flicked his fingers, and the tea lights and tapers glowed. With a laugh, Annika clapped her hands, then rushed over to hug Bran. I hugged Sasha and Riley. We're all together in this new place. She turned to wrap her arms around Doyle, coaxed a smile out of him. We have good food and good friends. Last, she turned to Sawyer, embraced him, indulged herself by breathing in the scent that was only his. Nereza is not with friends, and can't have what we have. She doesn't want what we have. Sasha swayed once, then straightened. Her eyes were dark and deep, and saw more than the sea and the slice of moon. She has no wish for friends or love or affection. She has lies and greed and ambition, all dark. She is the dark. Now she rages and she knows pain, but soon she'll seek and plot and come. She thirsts, and the thirst is for blood, our blood, for nothing else can slake that thirst. She will come, however we curtain our world. The globe of all will find us, and she will find another, one to join in the hunt. Greed blinds, greed binds. The god takes the man takes the god in a bargain sealed in blood. On this island, in these waters, in the songs, in the sighs, there will be battles new. Blood runs, pain strikes, and betrayal comes with smiles. On this island, in these waters, in the songs, in the sighs, the star waits, blue and pure, for the innocent and the valiant. It is not tears that form the water star, but tears will be shed before it is found. She swayed again, white as a ghost. Bran caught her to him, held her.
Just breathe, Foy.
I didn't fight it. I swear I didn't try to block it. Everything just felt a little off.
The shift. I've never traveled with a seer before. Not anything like this, Sawyer added.
Scrambled brains?
Sawyer slanted a look at Riley.
Not exactly, but maybe the vision just needed to, you know, catch up. You want some water? I'll get you some water.
No, I'm all right. Better. Sasha breathed out. Actually, better. It was like I couldn't quite get my balance. Now I can. So maybe, yes, maybe it was the shift. And God, it's been a day, hasn't it? I'm just going to sit down. And eat. Moving quickly, Annika filled a plate with pasta, scooped out the tomato and mozzarella. You need to eat the food. And I will. We all will. It came on so fast. It was, yes, like it caught up and slammed into me. And so much of it's brutal, just the feeling inside it all. Her fury and need to destroy us. Not just hurt or kill now. Destroy. You said she'd find someone, Riley reminded her. A man. Yes, but I don't know if it means male or just human. But she'll find someone, and this person will join forces with her.
After battling a god.
Doyle heaped food on his plate.
I've no worry about dealing with a mortal.
Says the man who can't die, Riley put in.
Humans are canny, cagey, and dangerous. If Nereza makes a deal with one, it's because he, or she, is useful to her. Don't get cocky. Sawyer passed the bowl to Annika.
Well, now we know which star we're looking for in and around Capri. The Water Star. We can take that off the list of what we need to figure out.
It's blue and beautiful. Unearthly blue. I don't know if I can capture the tones of it with paint. The Fire Star. It flashed and burned. And this. Sasha closed her eyes a moment. It glowed and seemed to ripple. Water? Maybe that's why. After she'd wound pasta around her fork, sampled, Sasha closed her eyes again. Oh, this is good, Sawyer. This is just exactly right. I'll take the breakfast shift.
No, I've got it. You get the morning off.
I can help again.
And see?
He gestured to Annika.
I've got my top sous chef, willing and able.
I made this. Annika carefully cut a bite of the salad. And it's good.
Damn good, Riley concurred, and took a second helping.
I'll hit research mode tomorrow. Maybe it's knee-jerk to figure the water stars in the water, but the first was, or under it. I know some of the caves around here, water and land. I'll find out more.
You spoke of both land and sea, Bren pointed out. Of songs and sighs.
Like when we were flying.
What?
Not flying, Annika said to Sawyer. What it feels like to fly, or what I think it would feel like to fly. The traveling, the songs and the sighs when you brought us here.
What songs and sighs, Annika?
Bren's dark gaze arrowed to her. You didn't hear them?
No.
He glanced around the table.
I don't think the rest of us heard anything. All I heard was the tornado.
Though she watched Annika, Riley continued to eat.
I've been through a few, and that's what traveling Sawyer's way sounds like to me.
But you heard singing and sighing. Only for a moment. It was so beautiful. It... She pressed a hand to her heart, then cupped it out. It made my heart big. There was the wind and the colors and light. It's very exciting. Then the songs, just music with words I couldn't hear all the way. And sighs, but not sad ones, or not all sad. Sweet, but with some sadness. A little sorrow with the joy. Is that right?
Mermaid ears, maybe, Riley speculated. Water star, mermaid.
Interesting.
She took another bite of pasta, smiled. We're going to need another boat. I'll get on that.
Later, when the house was quiet, when all her friends slept, Annika stepped out on the terrace outside her new room. The sea drew her. She was of it, from it. She wished she could fly down to it, wished she could swim inside its heart for a little while. But the sea must wait. She had the legs, and she prized them. Though now that she'd told the others what she was, she'd had no choice. Her time with them was a ticking clock. So she wished on the moon slice over the sea that she might sing and sigh inside Sawyer's heart, in the time she had left. She wished he might feel what she felt, if only for a single day. Duty came first, and she would never shirk it. But she could hope inside her heart that she would do her duty, fulfill her legacy. And no love before she returned to the sea forever. Chapter 2. In the morning, Annika woke early. She chose one of her pretty dresses that swirled around her legs, a lovely reminder she had them, and hurried straight down to the kitchen. She wanted to make the coffee. She'd learned how in the villa on Corfu, and liked doing things ordinary people did. But this new house had a different machine, and would take some time to figure out. She liked figuring things out, too. Today she wanted real flowers for the table, so she wandered outside and down toward the garden, and saw the pool, the pale blue water under the first soft beams of sunlight. The sea was too far for a morning swim, she thought. But this, well, it was right here. Trees flanked the yard, making a kind of green wall. In any case, she didn't understand the human fuss about bodies. They were as natural as hair and eyes, as fingers and toes, and no one made a fuss about hiding them. Besides, she longed for the water and saw no reason to go back to her room and find the suit to swim in. Instead, she pulled off the dress, tossed it onto a chair, and dived in. The water embraced her, gentle as a mother, sweet as a lover. She skimmed along the bottom, her sea-green eyes open and lit with pleasure. Delighted, she swam the length of the pool, back again. Then, pushing off the bottom, let her legs spear up into the air and sun, and slice down into the water again as a tail. Sawyer, a cup of coffee in his hand, stopped dead on the skirt of the pool. He'd come out to see who was up, who'd put the coffee on. He'd known it was Annika the instant her legs had come up and out of the water, long, dusky gold and perfect. Then color had swirled around those legs, winking, flashing like precious gems, gems that went to shimmering liquid before they'd become the mermaid's tail. It took his breath. Knowing her for a mermaid and seeing her transform were two different things, and it simply took his breath. Even before he caught it again, she flew up, long black hair streaming, arms outstretched, tail sparkling, her face bright and beautiful. She arched in midair, and Jesus, she wore nothing but the tail, then slid backward into the water again. His body reacted, and it didn't matter. He reminded himself he was a man, and what man wouldn't go hard watching a gorgeous, naked mermaid? He tried to think of her as a sister, got nowhere. Did better listing her firmly as a teammate. Most of all, he had to stop her from swishing that amazing tail around. They had neighbors here. She came up again, laughing, flipped back to float. He ordered himself not to look at her breasts, too late, but managed to shift his gaze to her face. She had her eyes closed, a quiet smile on her face as she floated, with the only movement the gentle flick of her tail fin.
Annika.
Her eyes opened, she smiled over at him. Sawyer, good morning. Do you want to swim with me?
Oh, yeah. Oh, boy, yeah. Couldn't. Shouldn't. Wouldn't. Not right now. And you can't, you know, be right out here with the tail, without the legs, and naked. Somebody could spot you.
There are the trees, and it's so early.
Windows over the trees, if somebody happened to look out just the right way at the right time.
Oh. With a little sigh, she lowered the tail into the water. And now he saw her legs lightly kicking. I didn't mean to, but it felt so good I forgot.
It's okay. Just don't. No, don't get out.
He actually felt panic as she glided toward the shallow end, stood. That body, willowy and perfect and wet. Water sparkled on her skin, diamonds on gold dust. She was killing him.
I'm going to get you a towel. Don't get out without any. Just wait.
He hurried back inside. Coffee wasn't going to do much for a throat that had gone bone dry at the way her hair slicked over those really, really pretty breasts. He tried counting backward by threes from 1,000 and still had to take a minute, adjust himself, only human. When he grabbed a pool towel from the utility room off the kitchen. When he came out again, she'd stayed obediently as she was.
You need to...
He wound a finger in the air.
Around. Then the dress.
He didn't see anything but the dress, which meant she wouldn't be wearing anything under the dress. And it wasn't smart to think about that either. He stared at the lemon trees as he held the towel over the pool. Why do women always cover their top half? And men don't always.
Because we don't have, and you have.
The breasts, she said as she stepped out of the pool, wrapped the towel around herself. Sometimes the maids wear shells over the breasts, but this is for fashion. He risked a glance, relieved she'd covered everything.
Mermaid fashion?
Yes, we like adornments too. I made coffee.
Yeah, good. Thanks.
He picked it up from the table, took a sip. She'd made it strong enough to fight the champ, but he had no problem with that.
If you're going to swim, you really need to wear a suit and keep your legs on.
I apologize.
No, don't be sorry.
He risked another look. Now she stood in the dress, long hair wet and sleek as a seal.
It's amazing. It's beautiful. It must feel weird for you to swim without it.
I like the legs.
Yeah, they're pretty great. Once we score a boat, we should be able to go out far enough, or you deep enough to tail it out when you want. But in the pool, broad daylight, it's better if you don't.
For a few moments, it was just morning, with the little pool of water in the sun and the smell of the trees.
One day it will be just morning.
She looked at him then, into his eyes. You believe?
Yeah, I believe.
Then I can't be sad. I'll help you fix the breakfast, and I can set the table. What will you make?
The way we're supplied right now, pretty much anything. What do you want?
I can pick?
Sure.
Can you make... It's not the pancakes, because you... She made a rolling motion with her fingers. And put something delicious inside.
Crepes?
Yes. Can you make those?
You got it.
She liked working in the kitchen. So many smells and colors and tastes. Sawyer said they'd make eggs and bacon, too, and the crepes would have peaches in them and honey over them so they'd be sweet. She helped him mix, and he showed her how to make the crepe. Let her try one all by herself. As she did, Sasha came in.
Good timing. Everyone's stirring around.
God, it smells good in here. I'm making a crepe.
Fancy.
Sasha walked over, put an arm around Annika's waist, watched a moment. And you're doing a good job of it.
Sasha reached for a coffee cup.
Should I set the table? The table? I forgot to get the flowers. We need the plates and the glasses and the napkins and...
Why don't I take out the plates? Sasha said.
With her bottom lip caught between her teeth, Annika nodded as she carefully slid the crepe onto a plate. Did I do it the right way?
Looks perfect, Sawyer told her.
I need to get the flowers now. As she dashed out, Sasha leaned back against the counter. Never a boring tablescape with Annika.
Maybe you can sort of explain to her about swimming naked, at least in the daylight.
Was she?
Unless you count the tail.
Uh-oh.
No harm, I could see, and she just got caught up. I think she got what I was telling her about it, but maybe, you know, another woman. I think on Corfu she went down to the beach early every morning, swam out and under, way under, to give herself that ritual, I guess it is. But here,
I'll make sure she understands. Do you need any help here?
No, I've got it.
Coffee, 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 Riley mumbled as she staggered in. She poured a mug, inhaled the scent, took a gulp.
Bang, she said. That's coffee. It'll put hair on your chest, Sawyer said. All right, you just need the moon for that. You're a riot.
She grabbed Annika's crepe, folded it into her mouth, said,
good,
around it.
Give me 15 minutes, you'll get better than good.
Sasha took plates outside. Came back in for glassware, got caught up in a kiss as Bran came in. By the time she went back out, Annika was at work. She had the plates in a semicircle around a little tower of empty flower pots. From the top one spilled napkins in bright colors, with folds and ripples. At the base of the flower blossoms and leaves, a few pretty stones formed a pool. It's a rainbow waterfall, Sasha guessed.
Yes, and its water feeds the little garden. It's water that blooms, so you can swim in the flowers.
That's a beautiful thought.
It's a happy place. The dark can't go there. There should be a place, I think, where the dark can't go.
She looked down at the bracelet circling her wrists, the magic Bran had fashioned for her.
A place where no one has to fight.
We'll push the dark back, Ani. It may be all we can do, but it matters.
Yes, it matters. Friends matter. We friends will have a pretty breakfast on our first day of our quest for the Water Star.
With a rainbow waterfall. They spoke of practical things over the meal, getting the lay of the land and the sea, divvying up the household chores.
We're not as isolated here, Bran pointed out. We could use a basic cover story. Friends on holiday.
Say a working holiday for me. Riley scooped up eggs. Sticking close to the truth always helps. I'm an archaeologist doing a paper, some research, so questions I might ask are covered there. I've got more Italian than Greek and can talk the talk. Anybody else?
Io parlo italiano molto bene, Doyle cut into a crepe.
Riley's eyebrows arched. Oh yeah?
Sì. I've had considerable time for languages.
That'll be handy if we need another interpreter. I'm going to make some calls, tug some lines. We're going to need a boat and diving gear.
You wheel that deal, Sawyer told her. You're good at it.
One of my specialties.
It wouldn't hurt to have a car or van on top, Bran pointed out. We may need to go farther afield.
I'll see what I can do.
Might as well leave my bike inside where it is, unless we need it. I'll set up a training area in the grove. We can use the trees for cover, Doyle speculated. Plenty of hills for hiking.
I like hiking. Annika ate the last of a honey-drizzled bite of peach. Can we hike down to the beach?
Maybe later, Bran told her. I have some work if Sawyer can help Doyle set up the training area. I'm on it. Annika, you could help me while Sasha and Riley deal with the cleanup here. We want to replenish the medicines. You'll make your calls, Bran said to Riley. Work your own brand of magic. We need to go over the maps for this area, Doyle pointed out, and work out some strategy.
Agreed. Could you do another assignment chart, Sasha? Right after KP.
Okay, go team.
Riley clapped her hands together. Let's get started. She liked working with Bran, not only because of his patience, but the delight of his magics. She had no skill as a witch, but he'd shown her during their time on Corfu how to crush leaves or petals, how to measure. He could and did make weapons, like the potions of light and power that had defeated Nereza and her beasts on Corfu. He could call the lightning and use it as skillfully as the others used gun or bow or sword. She had witnessed what he could do, and believed his power greater than any witch she'd known, even greater than the sea witch or sorcerer. But he would spend much time on the healing arts as well. Though she understood some felt fear or illness at the sight of wounds and blood, Annika saw a need and felt pride when Bran told her she had a skill for healing. She had no wish to be a warrior, though she accepted the war. Her weapons were her speed and agility, in and out of the water, and the bracelets that shot power or blocked it. When Sasha joined them, Annika made an excuse to leave them, because they were in love, and time between lovers was precious. She wandered the house, familiarizing herself with its chambers, rooms, she corrected. Following Riley's voice, she stepped into one flooded with light, where Riley paced and talked very fast on the phone, in a mix of English and Italian.
Che cazzo, Fabio? What kind of deal is that?
2 weeks minimum, and likely 4 or 6 weeks.
Stronzate.
Don't try to hose me. I could go to a stranger and get a better rate.
Okay, that's what I'll do.
Oh, and I'll be contacting your mother while I'm here. She and I really need to have a nice chat, because I find my memory about that night in Naples is coming back.
Same to you, amico.
She listened, her smile going sharp and satisfied.
Quanto?
Better. Some better, but I really miss talking to your mother.
Oh, that's for 2 weeks. Now you're talking.
That works. You keep the deposit either way.
What's that?
Riley threw back her head and laughed.
Baby, you wish I was squeezing your balls.
4 week minimum's a deal. We'll pick it up tomorrow.
She'd better be seaworthy, Fabio. Or remember how I pulled your ass out of the fire in Naples? I'll be shoving it right back in. Ciao.
She swiped off the call, swaggered over to Annika.
High five.
When Annika looked toward the ceiling, Riley laughed again.
No, slap my hand. It's a high five. It's a fucking A. We've got a boat. And I wrangled the cost down.
She rolled her shoulders.
I did squeeze the little asshole's balls.
What kind of balls? Riley pointed at her crotch. Those kind. Oh, yes. I know those kind. But how did you squeeze his balls when... It's an expression.
You're catching on. The diving equipment was easy. Fabio's cousin, Anna Maria, is in charge of that. And she's giving us rock-bottom rate. I'd have taken Fabio's next to the last raid if he hadn't tried to squeeze my balls first. Anyway, she shoved the phone in her pocket, dusted her palms together.
Done. And I've got the sister of a friend's boyfriend who'll lend us his van for gas and beer if we need it.
So where's everyone else?
Sasha and Bren are up the stairs making magics. I think Sawyer and Doyle are still in the grove for the training part.
All right, then. You need to put on pants.
Pants?
Yeah, those ones that hit about here.
Riley tapped the flat of her hand just above her knee.
The ones with all the pockets, and the tank you can tuck into them. I want to work on some of my moves, and you've got the best. And we'll work on your hand-to-hand. But you can't go doing flips in that dress, especially since there's nothing underneath it.
I like dresses better than pants.
Maybe so. But when you go commando and do handsprings and flips, you're flashing.
Flashing?
The girl parts, Annie. The parts we tend, right or wrong, to think of as private.
Maybe we'll get you some bike shorts. You could wear them under a dress.
Bike shorts. We'll look into it. But for now, go ahead and change. I'll see if Bran can spare Sasha. She needs the work.
She does better.
Yeah, she does. Riley agreed as they started upstairs.
You're a good coach.
Thank you. I like to help.
Pleased, even if she had to wear pants, Annika went to her room to change and wound her hair into a long, thick braid. She left her windows open, and though she would go outside, took a moment to lean out, drink in the air, the fragrance, her view of the sea. On the narrow road below, she saw people walking up the steep, steep hill in shorts and boots. Maybe they were bike shorts, but she knew what a bike was and they didn't have one. She saw bushes and trees full of blooms, and farther out, people on the sickle of beach, boats plying the blue water. Sometimes she liked to swim beneath boats, look up at their shadows and try to guess where they would go. But today she saw a woman walking slowly up the steep road and pushing a fat-cheeked baby in a walker, runner, stroller, a stroller. Plastic bags hung heavily off the sides of the stroller, and another bag crowded into its little basket. The baby laughed and clapped her chubby hands as the woman sang. Annika wished she could paint like Sasha. She would have painted the woman and the baby, laughing with the long, high road still ahead of them. The woman looked up, caught Annika's eye, so Annika waved.
Buongiorno, the woman called out.
She had bits of languages, because she liked to listen and learn.
Buongiorno, she called back.
Not sure how to make the sentence, she mixed her languages together.
You and your bambina are bella.
Annika held out her hands.
Bella.
The woman laughed, angled her head.
Grazie, signorina. Grazie mille.
And singing again, the woman and her baby continued the steep climb. Her mood buoyed by them, Annika danced downstairs and outside to train for war. She saw Sasha and Riley on the strip of lawn between the pool and the lemon grove. Pretty plants and bushes added color at the edges, and the tall, slim trees formed a green wall. Not so much room, so they'd have to practice smaller. Still, she enjoyed watching Riley work with Sasha on the hand-to-hand. A punch, a pivot, a kick. Like a dance. After a short run, Annika executed a double handspring, landed soft, and mimed punching both of her friends with the backs of her fists.
Show off, Sasha grumbled it.
There's not so much grass, but it's very nice. You can practice your rolls, Sasha.
Annika rolled her hands to demonstrate.
Then the jump up.
Double roll, Riley decided.